May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Tonight at CTK, though some of you don't come to CTK, we are going to be in Romans chapter 7, which is such a fascinating scripture. It is so connected to our liberty and freedom. Romans chapter 6 said, in Christ's death we died to sin, but Romans chapter 7 says that in Christ's death we died to the law. It's interesting that Paul refers to the law and sin connected as the law of sin and death. Because it's important, if God's going to set us free from the sin, he has to set us free from the law. Because the law is doing everything for God. Which all that does is expose how needy and weak we are. Grace says God does everything for us as a free gift. And so God has to set us free from the whole principle of self-sufficiency, trying to do our best for God, which just exposes our weakness. He has to set us free from that if we're actually going to walk out our freedom from sin's power. In the crucifixion of Christ, we died to the power of sin. But now, in union with Jesus, if we try our best on our own, out of sincerity, to not sin, we'll just keep falling into sin. Because we can't do it on our own. The whole point of the whole gospel is God setting us free from our fallen self-effort. Our new birth is a result of his grace. Our living a Christian life is all because of his grace. It's all him. That's why we talk about living from Christ, not for Christ. So now I'm going to say something that sounds scandalous. And so if it does, then it's not meant to be. Because the one thing I believe in with all my heart, that Christ wants us to experience a life of holiness. But holiness can only happen by grace. It can only be the result of Christ as a free gift, living his life of holiness through us. Not us, out of sincerity, trying to live a life of holiness for him. And so if we're no longer under the law, if we're dead to the law, then it means that you're no longer under the obligation to try to please God. So many people that I know do the obligation of prayer, do the obligation of reading their Bible, because those are the things they were told, and the obligation of coming to church. You know, I remember even as a young Christian, those are the things you heard. Here are the four deals. If you're going to grow in the Lord, read your Bible, pray, come to church, and tell people about Jesus. So as long as we kept those obligations, we felt like we would be spiritual. But in between all those obligations, quietly, and we learned to wear veils, we're blowing it. We're blowing it in our heart, we're blowing it in our actions, and we don't want anybody to know it. So we began to become like other Christians and wear veils so nobody will see it. We sing the right songs, hang out with the right people, but there's something wrong. Because we're trying to live under the law. You say, well, isn't prayer good for people? Yes, but not just because you prayed, not because you check it off of your list. It's because you're in pursuit of the one whom you're talking to. Because you want to encounter him. You want to discover more of him. Not because you're checking some obligation off. Well, isn't it good for you to be in the Bible? Yes, because you want to encounter the one who wrote the Bible. Not because you can check something off that says you've read the Bible. Well, shouldn't you share the gospel with people? Yes, but not because you're meeting some kind of obligation so you won't feel guilty anymore. You see, when you live like that, all you do is feel guilty all the time because you never do it right, never do it good enough, never perfect enough. Never consistent enough. Could have prayed longer. Read some book by some nut who prayed for 10 hours a day. Then you go, oh, I'll never be as spiritual as that. I'll never move in signs and wonders if I pray as much as I do. Trying to be righteous, all it produces is condemnation. But is righteousness important? Of course it is. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 18. For if by the transgressions of the one, Adam's sin, death reigns, spiritual death reigns through the one, much more those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Oh, you mean I'm not trying to build towards righteousness? I'm not trying to earn righteousness? I'm not doing these building blocks of righteousness until I'm more righteous and more righteous? Much more those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in this life through the one Christ Jesus. Because grace is reigning through the one Christ Jesus. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, Jesus going to the cross, a right act of righteousness, there resulted the righteousness of life for all men. Oh. Righteousness is a life? The free gift of righteousness through Christ Jesus? So righteousness is a life lived by the one who's righteous through me? That instead of me trying to live a life pleasing to God, I'm called to abide in Him? And He being my priority? I knowing that I can do nothing apart from Him, that He counts as righteous? Only that which He does through me is pleasing to Him? This is a great scripture and often misunderstood. Like the first part makes sense, but then people get the second part really weird. This is verse 12 and 13 of Philippians 2. So here's how the Christian life works. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, that sounds scary. That certainly sounds like law. But listen to the next thing that he says. For you get to work it out because he works it in. If your Christianity is a relationship and you actually trust that as you abide in him, that Jesus Christ's life will begin to pulsate in you and you will want to do things like prayer. You will want to do things like reading your Bible. You will want to do things like talking to people about Jesus because that's what he loves to do. He loves to communicate with you in prayer. He loves to communicate with you in the Word. He loves to tell people about Jesus. He loves to pray for them to get healed. It's a life. It's a life. It's a life, not a formula. But people are scared to death of that. That's grace. No, you got to give me rules. That's Romans chapter 6. How, if you take the law, if the law is no longer my master, if I'm no longer under the law, the rules and all this stuff, then won't I just sin all I want to? I mean, if I'm under grace, how does that work? Something's got to restrict me, direct me, force me. Man, so much Christianity's lived that way. It's so tragic, so sad. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, what's the whole fear, scary fear and trembling part? Go read Hebrews chapter 4 sometimes. Let us fear, lest we miss entering into the rest of God. The fear and trembling here isn't the fear and trembling of God's condemnation. I don't want to miss this life thing. If he's working something in me, that's where the rubber hits the road. If he's working in me both the will and the ability to do his will, I don't want to miss that. I want to experience that life. I want to know that kind of abundant life. I want to participate in that. That's why what he works in me, I cooperate with. Because I signed up to enjoy the exotic, extravagant, and extraordinary life that Jesus lives by grace through me as a free gift. And I don't want to miss that. And there's fear and trembling in me about missing that. But it's not a life of me trying to please God. It's a life of Him working in me both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Think about that. We've created a whole religious system that's been passed down through the centuries at times based on the fact that we really don't trust the life in us. He's got to have our help. And all I do is live in condemnation. Wouldn't it be better if to go, I love the roller coaster and I don't want to miss this one because this one's supposed to be the coolest one ever, the ride at the fair or at the whatever. And so in fear and trembling, I get on it because I know it's going to be an amazing ride. And so it's out of excitement. Obedience out of excitement. Cooperation out of excitement. He's worked in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Instead of me trying to do that. We quote this verse all the time, but hear what it says again. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that you produce. You can't work it up. You can't do enough things to make it happen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Because there's not one needed. It's a life. It's the righteousness of a life. That's Christianity. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.